You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Proverbs, the third chapter. Y'all found it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Notice it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart..." Now, the law there is my commandments, what I'm saying, what I'm telling you. "Forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." In other words, have a passion, a desire to do right, to do what God wants you to do. I want to find out what God says because I want to please God. So my heart is I want to do what's right. My flesh sometimes doesn't want to do that. But the bottom line is I do want to do what's right. I do want to make God happy, as it were. And there are things that please God. There are things that do not please God. There are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. So you can't just go through life and just do whatever, just go with the flow. No, you need to go with right information. You need to go with truth. Jesus said, you know the truth, truth will make you free. And so that's why he's saying, "My son, forget not my law." Don't forget it. That's why you're in church today. Remind yourself of things you've already heard. Many of these things you've read yourself. Many things I say in a message you've heard over and over and over. But the only reason you would remind yourself of something is that you might forget it. And the only thing you can remind yourself of are things that you've heard. So the idea, well, I've already heard that. Well, that's exactly what God wants you to remind yourself of. Well, I went to church one time. I heard that. Or I read the Bible one time. Well, okay, fine. That's good. Now, you just got started. Now, let's go back and read it again. Amen? Amen. Let's go to church again. Let's go read it again. In fact, let's make a habit of going to church, and let's make a habit of reading the Bible. Why? So we can remind ourselves. I'm constantly finding verses that I've read over and over that I look at in a different light now. I've seen them and heard them and preached them and quoted them, and then I read across them again years later. You know, I've read them I don't know how many times, and then boom, that thing just jumps at me, and I get something out of it I didn't get before. And that's from hearing it enough to where I catch it. I like that. I often kid around. We'll have a guest minister in, and they'll teach on something, and somebody will come up to me and says, "Oh, man, I never heard that before in my life. That was awesome." I'm thinking, I just taught a series on that last year. But they heard it in a different voice. They heard it with a different example, and they got it. And all truth that you get a hold of is truth that you've heard before, but now you got it. Truth is recognizable. You don't just all of a sudden hear something for the first time and get it. You've heard it here, you've heard it there, mama said it, daddy said it, or you heard it in some message somewhere, and now you're listening, and the pieces start coming together. It's kind of like walking through a fog. Things start taking shape, don't they, the closer you get to them? And then you get right up to them, you can see them clearly. So now you finally got enough of it, you heard it enough, you've been there enough, you walked enough to where you can see this thing. That's why you have to hear things over and over and over, because you don't always get it the first time. Or the second or the third. You don't always get it from that experience you had or that coworker that just mentioned something or maybe that pastor that you or that teacher you heard or that tape you listened to. And now you're hearing it, you've heard it many times, and something comes alive and you go, "Oh yeah, I see that." Well, you didn't just see it. You just got it at that point. You just got it clear at that point. You've been seeing it a while, you just didn't put all the pieces together. Amen? So that's why you have to keep reminding yourself. That's what Peter said, you know, in 2 Peter 1, he said, "I put you in remembrance of these things, although you already know them, to the end that you may be established." I like that. So what you already have heard and already known, you need to hear over and over so you can get established in that truth. But you'll never get established in something you don't repetitionally remind yourself of or hear over and over and over. That's the way we learn everything. Anybody been in school? I was there for a short time before they kicked me out. And when I was there, we went over things. And we took tests at the end of the week. And we went over, you know, the multiplication tables and all. We go over and repeat it over and over and over and over and over. And you repeat it enough, finally you get it. You know, you just kind of memorize the answers for a while. But finally you start to understand why you got those answers. That's why in school a lot of times they're trying to, they don't want you just to memorize. Well, they do now because of the STAR test and all that. But you don't need just memorize answers. You need to understand why you get those answers. Are you with me? And that's what happens with the Bible. You start learning different things the Bible says, promises that he's made, things that he will do. But as you grow, you begin to understand how he does that. You're not just learning acts, you're learning ways. Amen? The Bible says the children of Israel knew his acts. Moses knew his ways. So I want to know how God does things, because that'll help me down the road. Thank God he does things. If I call him, he helps me. But he wants me to learn too. He wants me to grow. I mean, would you rather just get healed every other day, or would you like to walk in perfect health? Would you rather get forgiven every day, ask God to forgive you every single day, or get to the point where you get over that sin and quit sin and have to ask God to forgive you for it? Would you like to have God just bless you with a financial miracle every time you hit a need, or would you like to just prosper where you didn't have that need all the time? See, there's a difference between healing and health and a financial miracle and wealth. Amen? And living holy and forgiveness. God wants us to get where we don't need forgiveness all the time, where we get over some sin and quit sinning like that. Well, God understands, and I've repented, he'll forgive me. Well, sure, he will. But you know, goodness gracious, man, he's hoping you'd quit sinning like that. Well, I'm just a hothead, but I always repent when I holler at somebody. Well, that's great, but you need to quit hollering at people all the time. Amen? Let's get some power and overcome this thing instead of just, you know, are you out there? Hey, it's no coincidence that the richest man in the Bible was the wisest man in the Bible. You ever notice that? Solomon asked for wisdom, and he began to prosper through wisdom. He didn't just get a miracle every time he needed a financial miracle. Now, thank God God does that, and I'm not saying don't call on him when you have a need. Come on. But, you know, even health, there are certain things you can do to, you know, thank God God he'll get you out of some messes. But sometimes our health has a lot to do with the way we're living. Things where I'm not getting into all that diet and health and all that and exercise and all that stuff, but you know, it probably wouldn't hurt you to do a little bit of that every once in a while. Are you out there? I don't really think that you could come down, stay with me on this point. I love you and I'm for you, you know that. I don't think you could come down here and just keep asking God to heal you of lung disease if you're smoking cigarettes all day long. I mean, you're not going to go to hell for smoking cigarettes. Stay with me. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you're doing the very thing that's causing you the problem, and you're wanting God to bail you out and give you a miracle here. And I think the damage is done. If you repent and come to God, he'll do a miracle. I believe that. But you can't keep doing what you're doing. At some point, you got to say, God, I missed. I was wrong. I've done this to myself. I repent and stop that. Ask God to help you overcome that and believe God to get healed. But to come down here with a cigarette in your mouth, are you with me? Say, Pastor, lay hands on me. Got lung cancer. Hold a minute. Okay. All right, go ahead. Are you with me? I don't hate you. I am not condemning you, okay? So if you smoke cigarettes, I don't run out here and say, Pastor just said I'm going to hell. You're not going to hell. I think you can go to heaven smoking cigarettes. You go quicker than most people. Hello. So we want to use wisdom. Come on, it's good preaching. I'm trying to help you. Okay, you know I love you. I'm not against anybody. But and that could go with food and certain things that we just love to eat too much of, you know. You pour a half a gallon of salt on everything you eat, and God, blood pressure, man, all your blood pressure going up. Got to have some help here. Is there a pill I can take? Come on. Well, maybe you ought to cut down on the salt a little bit. You know, just an idea. Just okay, I've started meddling now. Let me quit that. Quit preaching, got to meddling. But God is saying, if you listen to me, and he's not saying, just get saved, everything will be fine. Well, you get saved, you go to heaven. I got that. But everything's not going to be fine if you don't do what he says. Pure and simple. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to have a good family. He wants your children to serve him. But there are certain things you need to do for that to happen. You need to follow some instruction. You need to act a certain way and talk a certain way. I know this, and I've said this many times the last few months. It just stuck in me. You cannot talk failure and live in victory. You cannot. You can't do it. I mean, you know, you believe that God will help you, and you believe God's a God of victory, and you believe God will get you out of a mess. But if you're just continually talking failure all the time and talking negative all the time, come on. You can't expect to live in victory if you're going to talk that way. But I like to flip that coin and say, I cannot live in failure if I continually talk victory. I might be attacked. I might get sucker punched from time to time, but I will not live in failure, because I'm talking victory. I'm talking victorious. I'm talking the victor, Jesus, amen. And so you talk victory, you're going to live in victory. Praise God. Glenn and I were just talking about this the other day. Some people, my goodness, they're just worst case scenario. Every time something comes up, they just talk about it. The worst case scenario that could happen. It's almost like they got their faith out there. They're believing for it. You know, and you have to get a point to where, you know, I'm going to believe God. I am not going to believe for the worst case scenario here. I am not going to believe what the devil's trying to tell me. I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to say what God says, and I'm going to believe for God to show up here. I believe in God. I believe He's real. He's my daddy. He's my father. Jesus died for my sin. I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's for me, not against me. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me to the ends of the earth. And He said that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I am not going to put up with this. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe God to get out of this mess. And start talking the Word. Start talking victory. Start talking, you know, what that God actually is real and will show up. Instead of talking all the negative things that go on in your head. And that's natural. You do, fear comes, but don't give in to it. You know, just, it's not a sin to think for thoughts to come. It's a sin to think on them. You can't control every thought that comes in your head, but you can control what you think on. A lot of thoughts come in my head. I had to throw them out. I just reject them just like weeds. I had to, you know, I don't plant. Anybody plant weeds in your garden? They just get there, don't they?
Yeah.
What do, though? You go pull them out is what you do.
Yeah.
You don't leave them. You don't water them, fertilize them. No, you go pull them out. And so when a wrong thought comes, pull it out. Don't sit there and meditate on the thing and water it and fertilize it. Just get it out of your head. And we don't live in a vacuum. The only way to get it out is replace it with something. So replace that with a good thought, God's Word. Amen? So my son, forget not my law. I like that. Don't forget it. And the only way you not forget something is go over and over and over and over it. Remind yourself, talk about it all the time. Let your heart keep my commandments. Have a passion, a desire, and a want to. I want to serve God. I do. Sometimes my flesh doesn't, but I know deep down inside I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I want to serve God. So I want to keep His commandments. And I'm going to remind myself of it. And that's how you not forget, is you just have some form of reminding yourself. Write things on cards, put it on the refrigerator, put it on your dashboard, put it on the mirror in your bathroom. You know, if something comes alive to you, I know this. I've been in a lot of messages or sermons, I've heard a lot of them, where something just jumped at me. Well, if I don't go write that down and I don't share that with somebody, I'll forget it another week or two. And now, you know, no telling me how many great points I've heard that I've forgotten because I didn't write them down. Even when I read a book, if I'm reading a book and things come alive, I'll underline in that book, you know. And then when I get through with the book, this is just me, it's the way I do. When I get through with the book, I'll type up all the things I underlined so I can remember it. Because now I've underlined it, now I've typed it again, and I've put it into a document. That's just me. It helps me remember great points I've heard, things that just jumped at me and came alive to me. I'll read a newsletter by somebody, you know. They'll just center around and focus on a point that they're emphasizing, the Spirit of God dealt with them about, and they're teaching on this. And, man, I thought, oh, that is so good. And I'll underline it in the newsletter. And then I go put it on a card, an index card, and I'll set it on my desk. And I'll look at that thing for weeks and just go over and over. Man, that is so good. That's so good. Because I don't want to forget that. Are you out there? So I encourage you to take notes and highlight and underline and talk about the message. You know, the more you share something that's come alive to you, the more it'll stay in you. In other words, because you're sharing, you're giving, what you give comes back. What you plant, you reap. So teachers, people get, talk about me remembering verses and remembering things. I teach every Sunday, every Wednesday. And so that law of sowing and reaping is working in my life and has been for years now. Because I'm constantly sharing what I'm studying, so it's just multiplying back to me. But you can share the same thing. You can walk out of here and share what you heard. Something come alive to you. Amen. That's why the psalmist said this. David said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Man, I love that. But if you'll back up, this guy's not hanging around people that are just negative and critical. He's not walking with the sinners, and are you with me, and the scornful. He's meditating on the word, and he's meditating on it day and night. And it's causing his leaf to not wither. It's causing his fruit to come forth in its season. And everything he does prospers. Hallelujah. That's what you do habitually, habits that you create. You ought to have a habit of reading the word, a habit of praying about things. Just always pray about things. And a habit of trusting God, thinking the best case scenario, not the worst case. Amen. Thinking how you're going to get out, not how you're going to go under. And if you'll do that, you'll create these habits in your life of talking a certain way and thinking a certain way and, you know, and praying when things happen. You'll create these habits in your life, and those habits will begin to make you. And you'll become that kind of person. That's what he's saying. Let's don't forget what he says. Amen. Let's just hang on to it. Hallelujah. Going a little further. That's just the first verse. Notice the second verse. Here's the carrot on the stick. God put it there. Okay, I didn't put it there. This is what God says. He said, if you will do this, do what? If you will not forget his word, his commandments, if you'll let your heart keep them, that's where it's got to start anyway. If you don't have a desire or a heart for it, you're not gonna do it. Amen? But if you really have a heart, and if you really love Jesus, it all comes down to that. I mean, all the things we can say, we can force you to come down here and somebody can stand behind, put your hands up in the air, you know, when we sing, and hold them up there, and then grab your wallet out of your back pocket and throw some money in the offer when it comes by. We'd be forcing you to do that. That's not your heart. Are you with me? But if your heart's in it, somebody can stand behind you. They couldn't keep your hands down. They couldn't keep the wallet in your pocket when the offering comes by, because you want it. You want to give. Amen. That's different. And that's where God wants us. And I've said this often, but God doesn't want to dance with a robot. He doesn't want to dance with a mannequin, and he doesn't want to pay you to dance. He wants you to come freely. So he wants your heart. That's what he wants. But if he's got your heart, the rest of it will line up. It'll line up, man. That's get that first. Get that straight. Your heart right. Amen? So if you'll do that, your heart keeps his commandments. This is what will happen, second verse. He said, length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, come on. I mean, the day won't be a drudgery for you. You won't get up in the morning and say, would to God it were evening. You won't go to bed at night and say, would to God it were morning. That's part of the curse. Do you know that? That's listed in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, as part of the curses. One of the curses is that you'll get up in the morning and you'll say, oh, would to God it were evening. And you go to bed at night and say, oh, would to God it were morning. And your life will be a misery all day long. God does not want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to live in depression. He wants you to live with purpose. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. Hallelujah. He shed his blood, died, and rose again that you might have it. Hallelujah. And how dare the devil try to steal that from us? And how dare we give in to the devil and lay down, hello, and let that just run all over us? We ought to stand up and get a hold of the word of God and say what God says. Recognize it when it comes. When that depression comes in like a cloud, like a darkness, and you stop that thing. You say, no, you don't. You lying devil. You lying devil. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Lord Jesus, I lift you up right now, and I look at you right now, focus on you right now, and I trust you right now, and I keep my mind fixed and focused on you. Hallelujah. Depression just has to leave. I mean, when depression knocks on the door and the peace of God answers, depression goes. Amen. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add with thee. You know, you're guaranteed to live a little longer if you serve God, for sure. No doubt about that. I know often we'll misquote that scripture, you know, that everybody has appointed time to die, but that's not what the scripture says. That's Hebrews 9:27, incidentally. And it says it's appointed to man once to die. It doesn't say it's appointed time for man to die. It says appointed man once to die. We often hear that, well, it's your time to go, it's your time to go. You know, that sounds real cute, but that's just not scripture. It even sounds religious to say that. No matter where you are, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Well, how in the world could I add length of days to my life if I had a time to go? You know how many promises in the Bible that talk about extending your life and living longer? The Bible says if you honor your parents, you'll add years to your life. You ever notice a lot of people that get stabbed and killed and shot during in the parking lot of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know if that may have something to do with it. I don't know. I've thought about that. You know, I've just thought about things like that. I sit around and think about these things. Not everybody. There are things that are random. I know there's drive-by shootings and all those kinds of things. But most people that die in violent gun battles and so on and so forth, there's drugs involved, alcohol involved, there's late-night party involved. They're in a part of town they shouldn't have been in. Come on. Now, that's not doctrine. That's just facts. Yeah. I'm not trying to promote some idea here. That just, you can, I always heard all liars can figure, but figures can't lie. That's deep. You may want to write that, put that on a card. You need to remember that one. All liars can figure, figures can't lie. I know my life was a whole lot worse before I got saved. And it had some connection to drugs and jails and the people I was hanging around with. Are you out there? I used to get in a lot more fights than I get into now. Are you with me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't ever get in fights anymore. Used to get in fights all the time. You know, when I was lost and doing drugs and alcohol and all those kinds of things. It seemed like they kind of went hand in hand. The people I was hanging around, the things I was doing, and so on and so forth. So, you know, just a little wisdom would give me a little more length of life. Some of my friends didn't make it very long, never got saved. But I went to some of their funerals. Distinctly. I remember one in particular, a good friend of mine committed suicide. I'd just gotten saved, never had a chance to witness to him. I had just got saved. And so the first time I saw him after I got saved was sitting in a coffin with a picture on top of the coffin. He didn't know the Lord. And I didn't know the Lord when I knew him. Are you with me? I remember one of my best friends, I went to the funeral and I was not saved. I was a pallbearer at his funeral. We'd moved out together. I left home at an early age, and I was a pallbearer at his funeral. I never will forget the emptiness and the hopelessness I had in my heart when I went to that funeral and carried his coffin to that grave because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in God, didn't believe in anything, and there's no hope. No hope. I would never see him again, never, ever. I just no way to live to not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Things are totally different now that I got saved. Totally different. You look at life different. You look at, you got hope when people die if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I mean, I've preached funerals with a smile on my face knowing that we're going to see these people again. Oh, we have some sorrow. We miss them. I got that. I understand that. But this is not the end. Hallelujah. We got something better coming. Praise the Lord. And I know those, what the scripture says, and I'm confident concerning the scripture. Be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Woo! That's good stuff. Amen. This is a whole lot better way to live. I got hope, I got purpose, I got help. Three things that I never could answer these questions, and I can answer them right now, and you can too. I never could answer where I came from. I never could answer why I was here. And I never could answer where I was going. Those three questions, I never could. Why am I here? Where'd I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Well, now I know I came from God. I'm here to serve him, and I'm going to heaven. Yeah. Amen. But a person does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, does not believe in God, cannot answer those questions. Because, you know what, you come up with anything, well, somebody can come up with something else. I know for sure that we all came from God. I know that. And I know that my purpose here is to serve him. That's your purpose. In whatever capacity it is, wherever you are. And I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Now, that gives me peace. That's part of that equation there. He says, long life, the length of days, long life and peace. Peace will they, God's word, add to you. That's why I love the word. I love digging into it. I love, you know, I just ran across a scripture the other day. I was reading about the in the Second Chronicles about the kings, you know, where the kings were divided. And one of them was a pretty good king, Joash, but at the end of his life, he got a little crazy. And a prophet came up to him, prophesied to him. And I don't know, it just jumped at me. I was reading New Living Translation, 2 Chronicles 24:20. It says, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. Jehoiada had passed away. Joash the king had gotten sour in his length at the end of his reign, and he prophesied against him, Zechariah did, and Joash had him killed, incidentally. But listen to this, what he said. He stood before the people and he said, this is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering? That's strong. So, well, I just want to do my own thing. Well, no, you're not doing your own thing. You're doing what you were raised to do. You're doing what the people around you are doing. You're doing what the thoughts the devil put in your head as you grew up without Jesus. You're not doing your own thing. Well, I just got to be me. No, you're not being you. You're being what everybody told you about you. You're being what the devil put in your head without Jesus about you. You're doing what your flesh is pulling you to do. You don't find you till you find God. You don't find you till you get saved. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on. Until you step in the light, you don't even know what you look like because you've been living in the dark all your life. Oh, come on now. Think about it. I just did my own thing. But no, I never did my own thing. I did somebody else's thing. I did what the devil's thing was. I did everything but my own thing because I didn't even know who I was until I came to Jesus. And now I'm finding out who I am, hallelujah. I'm finding out the gifts he's given me. I'm finding out things I can do I didn't know I could do, hallelujah. All of a sudden I've stepped into the light and I see myself now. I don't just see him, I see me. And that wasn't me. The light doesn't make everybody the same. The light brings out all your different personalities, and you will never know who you are till you come to Jesus. And if you get in the Word, oh, this is so good. 2 Chronicles 24:20. I decided to throw this out there. Did y'all like this? Well, you better. Come on. I need you to agree with me on this. Come on. Okay. Help me out. 2 Chronicles 24:20, New Living Translation. This is Zechariah prophesying, and he says, this is what God says, why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering? You have abandoned me. You have abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you. Most of what happens to his life is not God doing something bad to us. It's God not doing anything to us. We've stepped away from him. We lost his protection. He didn't judge you and have you killed. Your own sin brought it on you. Are you with me? Not in every case, I'm just saying, you know, in a lot of cases. Okay, so Proverbs 3. Is this helping you? Amen. I'm just enjoying this. I think this is so good. I love the Word. I love to get the Word inside of me and get it. It changes your life. God wants to add length to your days, and he wants to add life, so you have long life, and he wants you to have peace, not a miserable life. Who wants to live long and be miserable? No, I want to live long and have peace. And when I get ready to go on to be with the Lord, I'll go on to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. God guarantees that great peace have they that love thy law. Amen. Well, it goes on third verse. We'll wrap this up. Y'all ready for me to close? I'll see how y'all jumped on that one. You did good. I appreciate it. That's good. Proverbs 3 verse 3. Oh, now here's some instructions. See, here's some commands. Here's something that'll help you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Be merciful. Help people. Be understanding with people, okay? Don't judge people so harshly. I think some things that we forgive ourselves for, we don't forgive others for. Are you with me? In other words, we see it, we do it, but we get mad when they do it. Are you with me? And usually that's the problem we have with people, is things that's in us, really. They have a term in psychology, they call it perceptual rigidity. We see in others what we have in ourselves. You know, we don't like this person because of the way they act, and that's the way we act. And that's why it rubs us wrong, because we see ourselves in that. We don't like it. You know, and we need to have mercy. Amen. We need to be merciful. You know, I don't think anybody's going to grow old, and you're going to, at the end of your days, when you're 120 years old, or however old you're going to be, and you're laying in bed and you're getting ready to go on to be with the Lord and you got all your family around you, I don't think you're going to regret being nice to people. I don't think your biggest regret is that you were just too merciful. Well, I got one regret. I just wish I'd have been a little meaner. Nobody gets old and thinks about having been a little meaner. Wish I'd have been a little meaner. It's always, I was a little too hard with that person. Or I should have let that go. You know, I held that against that person. I should have let that go. Or, I was too mean. Nobody says I was too nice. I mean, nobody says, oh, God, I was just too nice. God, I'm sorry for being so nice to everybody. Your regrets will always be regrets of not being merciful and loving to people and forgiving people and overlooking things instead of being so hard, you know. If anything I need to repent of is that that teacher in me, I guess. That's not an excuse. Are you with me? I'm just telling you that's the reason I would use. I want it to be just right. I want it to be just perfect. And so I tend to be a little unforgiving, but it's wrong. It's wrong, and I recognize it. Are you with me? I'm not perfect either. I know you didn't know that, but anyway. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them upon your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. Keep them, guard them, put them inside of you. Let's be merciful people, okay? Let's don't look at people that are lost and just hate them. And when I talk about sin, I talk about homosexuality is a sin. I'm against homosexuality. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm not trying to kill them. I don't want to burn their houses down. I don't want to destroy them. I want them to get saved. I want them to get right with God and get over their sin. I don't hate women that have abortions. I don't hate them. I'm not going to picket them. I'm not going to burn down abortion clinics, and I'm not going to shoot abortion doctors. I'm going to pray for these women for what they've gone through and what they're going through, the pain and the guilt that they carry with them. And they'll wake up, and some of them are actually proud of it. They need to wake up. But I don't hate them. Are you with me? We don't hate people. We hate sin. Are you with me? And we should be merciful to people in the sense of getting them back to Jesus. Hey, bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the abortionist, bring the liar, the cheat, the gossiper. Maybe we already got some of those. But anyway, if they'll repent, if they'll come to Jesus, we don't care. Everybody's got a past. Every saint's got a past. Every sinner's got a future. Hello. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, I was in sin. I wasn't a homosexual. I want to make that real plain. But I was in sin. I was lost. Didn't know Jesus. I was in drugs and jails and all those kinds of things. I kicked out of high school. I was the most likely to fail. But you know what? I got saved. Amen. And that old man's dead. Now I'm a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, last verse. This is it. I know I'm just going over a little bit. Don't get antsy on me. Fourth verse. We'll just close it out right here. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you'll do these things, he talks about not forsaking, his word, and not forsaking mercy, truth, and bind it upon your neck and write it on the table of your heart. If you'll do these things, you will find favor in God's sight, and you will find favor in man's sight. Hallelujah. And you'll be a whole lot easier to get along with. Amen? Think about it. Praise God. Who wouldn't want that? Oh, come on. We all want that. I want favor with God and man. I want peace. I want long life. Sure, I do. I want all that. I want favor. Well, I need to get in the Word, and I need to start doing what God says to do. And today's a good day to start. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up with us. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap.